probably guessed the title of that, The Lightning Tree, which was the theme song for Follyfoot, written by Stephen Francis, who was the brother of Tony Essex, the executive producer of the series, and sung by the Settlers. It reached number 36 in the UK charts in 1971. With me now, Jane Royston, whose book Follyfoot Remembered looks back at the series. Good morning to you, Jane.
Good morning, Judy.
Oh, we've had such lovely memories this morning thinking about with our listeners of that series. And I loved it, not because of the horses, but because of Dora and Steve.
Ah.
Never did kiss. Never did kiss. For those who don't know the series, it was centred around Dora, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. She was the daughter of a rich family, slightly misunderstood, or very misunderstood. Mm. And because they were going away, she went to stay with her uncle, and he loved horses, and through that relationship with the horses, he took her to Follyfoot Farm, where he had rescued horses and horses that had been badly treated, yeah, etc. And that was the beginning of the story of, yeah, Follyfoot Farm.
It was sort of giving a chance to both horses and people who'd been sort of rejected by society, wasn't it?
I think that's very true. I think sometimes the more you watch the episodes, the more meaningful you see behind the scenes kind of thing about... Each episode I found did have a meaning, did have a story to tell. Yes, about the horses, but as you say, also about the people, about Steve. He was kind of a lost soul as well to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And Gillian and Ron, the three of them, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yes, it was a good combination, really.
Didn't James Bolam have something to do with the making of it?
Not actually with the making of it, but I think he told the executive producer that he thought it would make a good children's series.
Mm.
And I think that's how it progressed from there.
Yeah. Now, there were so many great actors in it. I mean, Gillian Blake as Dora, Steve Hodson as Steve, as we don't actually see too much of them. I saw Steve in a few things after, but I think Gillian's retired now, hasn't she?
Yes. We've just actually had the 40th celebrations,
yeah,
and Steve and Gillian very kindly attended it. And you were talking about the kiss that never happened,
yes,
on television. Well, I can tell you now, it has happened.
Oh! Was he captured on film?
I don't know whether anybody managed to catch it, sadly, but sadly not all the films in yet. But
yeah,
if they have, I will let you know.
Of course, Christian Rodsker as Ron Stryker, we've seen in a lot of things, and as the Colonel, Desmond Llewellyn, of course, who was Q in all the James Bond movies.
That's right. We seem to have, like... Two of the actors were previously well known, like Slugger.
Arthur English.
Arthur,
yeah,
English, yeah, and the Colonel. And it actually worked very well.
Mm.
And I think Desmond played a very good part as the Colonel.
Oh, he wonderful.
Was the right, yes, he was the right sort of person,
yeah,
for it.
Yeah.
Slugger, Arthur English. Well, Slugger was a Arthur English, or Arthur English was Slugger.
Yes, he was.
I don't know which way. He he was just like that all the time. He was,
yeah,
great. And Christian and Christian Rodsker and Arthur English, they could banter against each other, and they were just great together.
Yeah, and I was reminded of how many well-known actors and actresses appeared in it. Pam St. Clement, Gretchen Franklin, and Kathy Staff appeared in it over the years.
You're doing better than me on this one.
Oh right.
I've got to be honest. I think I was more involved with the horses and the directors and things. Didn't really get as involved with the actors and the actresses. They were just there. They were doing their job and I was doing my job.
Well, directors.
Directors.
Yeah, absolutely. Amazing list of directors who've been revered figures in the film industry over the years. I was looking through the book last night. Stephen Frears, who, of course, has done Comic Strip and My Beautiful Laundrette.
That's right.
Jack Cardiff, who took time out from working with Kirk Douglas.
That's right.
Yeah, he was on some of the big Powell and Pressburger movies, wasn't he?
Yes, and then we had David Hemmings.
David Hemmings. Didn't you double for him?
No, I doubled for Anthony Andrews.
Oh, Anthony Andrews you doubled for, that's
right. Yes, yeah. I don't think I could double for David Hemmings.
No, but he acted in it and then he did some directing as well.
Yes, he did, and he directed the last one as well.
Right, so how did you get involved? Take us back. How did you get involved with the series?
Well, originally, I worked for my father, and then I used to go to, well, if I can say work, I went to the mansion, a place in Roundhay, and all the businessmen of Leeds used to go there for lunch. And I was talking to a guy called Jack Gilpin, who was the actual owner of the mansion, and he introduced me to this other person, I can't remember, Arthur I think it was, who was a press officer for ABC and was moving to Yorkshire Television. And he happened to say that they were looking for somebody to help Sally Adcock learn to ride or get more experience with riding, who was starring in Tom Grattan's War. Would I be interested? So I drunk enough to say definitely yes.
So you'd always been a rider then, had you?
Yes, I'd always been, horses have been the love of my life, if I'm honest, probably more than the people.
Yeah, I don't blame you. When you mentioned Tom Grattan's War, I looked it up last night because I suddenly thought, oh my goodness, yes, that was Michael Howe and Richard Warner in that series.
That's right.
So then you got involved from that.
Well, after that, there was a big gap, and I was working for a company called E.J. Arnold's, which was a printing firm in Leeds. And I got a phone call, which you weren't supposed to have in those days, and it was Tony Essex from Yorkshire Television, and he said he'd got this book, would I be interested in reading it? Well, I got the book, and I've got to tell you, I didn't read a page of it. I've got to be honest, I'm not very good at reading books, and I just couldn't get into it.
Was this Cobbler's Dream?
I'm afraid so. Yeah. And Tony rang me up and said, what do you think of the books, you know, for a children's series? So I just said, oh, it's got possibilities. And I just hoped and prayed he would not ask me a question about it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tony. He didn't. Otherwise, I would have had to admit to the fact that I haven't read it.
So you'd known him from Grattan's War then?
Yes, I had.
He just phoned you up like
that. Yes, I had.
And it was his daughter, I believe, who found the village of Follyfoot with an eye.
Yes, the story I was told was that it was on a map, and Tony Essex couldn't call the series Cobbler's Dream. So he just got a map of Yorkshire and asked Tamara to put a finger on the map. I don't know whether it was the first choice, but she eventually got Follyfoot, and he decided to change it from an I to a Y, and it worked very well.
Right. And you found what was to become Follyfoot Farm.
My farm.
Your farm.
My farm.
Yeah.
Yes, I'd found it. Oh, years and years before, because I wasn't always very well behaved, and of course the one thing my parents could threaten me with was my horse, sell it. So when I was riding through there one day, I thought, I can hide here with my horse. I didn't know how I was going to survive, but that didn't come into it. And Tony Essex got me into the office one day, and he said, look, Jane, there's not going to be a Follyfoot. You know, we're not going to be able to do it if we don't find the location. So I said, well, I do know where there's a location, but I don't really want to tell you about it. Told him the story, and he said, oh, don't worry, your horse won't be sold. I'll buy your horse for you or whatever. So I told him about it, and it goes on from there. He fell in love with it. And to be honest, it was the ideal location.
And this was on the Harewood Estate?
Yes, it was on the Harewood Estate.
Yeah, yeah. And was the Lightning Tree actually there? Whose idea for that?
That was Tony's, I think, because the yard was quite bare, and for the camera shots and things, he needed something to focus on. So I think a tree had died, and it was brought into the yard and stuck into 7 feet of concrete or whatever.
No!
And I remember taking Alan Wicker up there once, and he loved trees, and he saw this, and he said, oh, dear. And I said, look, the tree was dead before it came here. And he said, but I do love trees. I don't like to see things happen like this.
Gosh.
So I said, we would not have taken one that was alive, I promise you.
Yeah, yeah.
So he was a little bit better after that.
Now, you also had to find the horses, didn't you?
Yes. That was a bit lucky, because I used to go hunting and one thing or another, and I met these two girls, and they said they had a trekking centre, Anne and Vicky it was, and they said they had a trekking centre in Pateley Bridge. And I said, well, we're desperate for horses, you know, just to be in the scenes and for people to ride and in the stables. And I must admit, they were fantastic. They provided us at the beginning with most of the horses. And we had one or two star horses, as I call it. We got from different people.
Yeah, yeah. But didn't you almost bring filming to a halt because they said it wasn't your job?
Yes. Tony again called me into his office and he said, Jane, he said, we've got a problem. He said, the props people aren't very happy with us because they think horses are a prop. And, sorry, I don't know what's happened to my voice this morning.
It's all right.
So he said, you know, they say that they should be getting the horses. So I think I blew my top a little bit and said, how can they find the horses? They haven't got the contacts and they're not going to get them for nothing. So we came to an agreement that a props buyer called Rob Saul would accompany me, and he was great, Rod Saul, sorry, and he actually, his daughter came on the show, and Christine, and we're still friends to this day, and Yeah, he was a great guy. I just landed with the right prop buyer because it could have been so totally different.
There were some very moving stories involving the horses.
Very.
The innocence with the ex-miner, that was a lovely story.
Yeah, that was a tearjerker for me because we actually got to the pit and we had the three ponies, Farmer, Boxer and Paddy. And they were in the horse box and this little miner comes along and he said, "Can I go and look at the ponies?" So I said, "Yeah, of course you can, just go in the box." And all of a sudden we heard this yell and I said, "Oh, it's Farmer!" And we just looked, my pony. Well, I'm just doing it now. Just going to burst into tears. And it was so moving. And he just, they were so like a partnership, the pony and the people looked after them. They were their friends in the mine. And, you know, sadly, some of the ponies were lost and some of the people were lost. But
yeah.
No, it was lovely.
How long is it since he'd seen that horse?
A good few years,
because
Farmer was getting on at that age, and he had him as a young pony.
Oh,
but that was really, really moving.
Yeah. Now, you actually bid at horse sales for horses, didn't you?
Oh, this is another story, yes. I went with a director who said he wanted a pony that didn't look too good kind of thing. And we saw this little pony in one of the pens with its harness on it, just stood there, really dejected, with its head down. It didn't look as though it could even carry the harness. And he said, "That's the one." I said, "Oh, no, we can't get that pony." I said, "Poor thing, it can't go through filming and one thing. It's not fair to do that. That's the one I want." So we bid for it. And it happened that the harness was actually more than the pony. So anyway, I got the halter on the pony to bring him out. We took all the harness off. The little devil set off with me down the road. I was hanging onto the lead rope. I certainly changed my mind about that little pony.
Was that Black Beauty?
Yes,
that
his real name was Black Beauty.
Yeah. There's some lovely pictures of you being made up. I did a double take, actually, of you being made up as Anthony Andrews. I'm surprised he didn't do his own stunts. I thought he was quite a rider.
He's a very good rider and got on with my horse very well. But because of the insurance in those days, I think it was, for some reason, it was quite high money or whatever, he wasn't allowed to do it. And they were going to get a stunt person to do it, and he very kindly said, "No, why can't Jane do it? It's her horse." And so then he took the photographs that you've seen there of me on the horse and having my tash put on and being bandaged up, to put it politely. But it was good. It's got to be my favourite episode, not because it's the best episode, but because I had the most fun on that. Really enjoyed it. And the director said, "Oh, I'd use you any time," and Andrew Fielder, who was helping me, the show jumper. But we were just doing what we love to do normally.
You know,
it was nothing for us.
All the horses, and given that we've spoken about directors being, you know, Hollywood directors, Michael Apted, who directed The Chronicles of Narnia, he worked on it.
That's right.
It must have made it an extremely expensive children's programme.
I think I'm right in saying that Tony said to me at that time it was the most expensive children's programme to be made. Mm-hmm. And when you think they had to spend thousands on the location, OK, it doesn't sound a lot now, but 10,000 in those days was a lot to get it so that we could even use it.
Yeah.
And then it was all done on film, and they had the keep of the horses, the keep of me, and the horse girls. So, I reckon it was quite an expensive programme to make.
It must have been bliss for you, though, every day to go to restored stables and seeing all the horses there and working with them all day long.
I think one of the happiest moments was before we actually started filming and we got all the horses in. And I'd always dreamt of this about this. Oops, sorry again. About this. My hands are going all over the place. I always dreamt about doing this, you know, and seeing this farm like this. And as I say, my dream had come true. And when they were all there, and I just thought, this is fantastic. Yeah. I suppose if I'm honest, that meant more to me than the actual filming side. Because my dream had come true.
It was a very active, apart from the horses, there were quite a few dramatic scenes. I can remember fires and quite a few fist fights going on in the stable yard.
Yes, there was, and I think because the horses lived on the set and got used to it, most of the horses lived on the set and got used to it, we got away with a lot more than we probably would have done otherwise. We had stunt horses, but most of the horses weren't trained. Sorry, I should have brought a glass of water. Yeah, I'll tell somebody else's.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Good.
And some of the scenes, I just feel that maybe that worked better for the horses because we had to stand behind the horses and chase them out the box. Well, we were on the floor and flicking the whip, but only needed a horse to kick and we would have been in big trouble.
Yeah.
But because they knew us, and we worked with them every day. I think that probably thought, oh, we're not really frightened of them.
Yeah.
You know, we'll jump out the stable door or do whatever we have to do.
It must have been such a wrench to have left when that finished series.
Yes,
or when that series finished. I'm talking back to front now.
Yeah, I think the saddest thing for me was when we started clearing all the buckets and cleaning all the mangers out and stacking them up, and all the horses were gradually going, and gradually it just all fell apart.
Mm.
I'd have liked it if Tony had said, oh, you can stay on, Jane, and look after the horses you've got. But it didn't happen.
But he did want you to look after the horses on the new series, Luke's Kingdom.
Yes, he did. I was amazed about that because at one time I walked out on Follyfoot. I went to the pub and at the Harewood Arms, and Ray Frift, who was assistant director at that time, came up and said, what do you think you're playing at? So I said, I've just had enough. I was just so tired.
Mm.
He said, well, there's the horse girls there doing their best and working and not saying a word against you and da-da-da. And by the time he'd finished, I'd felt about 2 inches big. And I thought, I think I better go back. So I went back to Follyfoot. And when I was talking to Tony, he offered me Flambards. Not Flambards, sorry, Luke's Kingdom. I said, well, I'm surprised you're offering me this after I walked out on the show. So I said, well, put it like this, you're not going to walk home from Australia.
Yeah, you couldn't do that series though, unfortunately.
No, you had to sign up for 2 years. You had to stay there for the 2 years.
Gosh, but you did do... Did you work Flambards or not?
Well, sadly, that was a bit sad. We were going to do Flambards and was having the job with the horses and the three-day week came in. So it was cancelled.
Minor strikes.
Yes. So that was cancelled, and then it was done later on, but by a different team.
Ah, right.
So I missed out.
So are you working now, Jane?
I'm retired at last.
Are you? Still riding, I bet, though.
No, sadly I can't.
No.
I've got a really bad hip that locks if I get on, and if I can't do it ride how I want to ride, then it's just not the same, is it?
Yeah, no, I can imagine
that. So, no,
that.
Sadly that's not happening.
It'd be nice if you could help youngsters to ride again, though.
Well, yes, I'd like to teach. It's a bit difficult because I've just moved down south, so I haven't got the contacts.
We've got horses down here, you know.
I know.
Not just up north, you know.
But I haven't got the contacts down here.
We had mines as well.
Did you really?
We did, gold mines.
Oh, well, you would. Ours was just coal.
Yeah, we've also got our Flambards. I think we've still got a Flambards down here
as well.
Yeah, well, you know. Jane, the book must have brought back so many memories for you, and you know, having the reunion must have been fantastic.
Yeah, the reunion was absolutely fantastic, and the people who organised it did a terrific job, and it was lovely seeing Gillian and Stephen again.
Mm.
Very sad that Christian was poorly and couldn't make it.
Oh.
And I think a good time, maybe too good a time, was had by all.
Yeah.
And it kind of brought it all to the surface again, so you're kind of dropping again a bit now.
Yeah.
Because it's.
Is it out on DVD anywhere?
Yes, the DVDs are out.
Yeah.
They've been out, well, the complete set have been out for over a year, I think, now.
Mm-hmm.
And, as I say, we're trying to sell the book.
Excellent. Well, it's great memories for those of a certain age, and it's a shame there aren't too many series like this for youngsters now.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
It should be brought back. Not made again, but it should be repeated.
Yeah. Jane, lovely to talk to
you. Thank
you,
Judy.
Thank
you. Very kind of you.
Thanks very much.
Okay.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.